So, y'all, I saw a Facebook status recently of a well-known Christian thought leader who said, "Christians are not empaths." And I want to ask you now on the podcast, how should we feel about that? Pun intended. Let's get into it.
Hey, I'm Chris McDonald, and you're listening to She Speaks Podcast, where each episode we will navigate our way through the intersection of Christianity and culture to cultivate conversations that are real, relevant, and maybe even ratchet at times too. But either way, she speaks.
Your girl is back, y'all, and she speaks again. Listen, it may sound a little different though, because number one, my voice done been through it. And number two, I have braces now since I've last recorded June of 2021. So I'm going to sound a little different, okay? But I'm so glad to be connected with you all again through the podcast. It's been well over a year since I recorded an episode, but I'm finally ready to give y'all some new episodes. So do me a favor right now while you're listening, go ahead, share the episode with someone else, caption "She's back," and let them know that your girl is back on the mic, okay? Thank you in advance. Now, let's get into this episode. So today, y'all, we're talking about what it means to be an empath and how that intersects theologically with being a Christian believer. But wait a minute, Chris, what is an empath? Okay, y'all, so I'm not going to assume that everybody who's listening knows what it means to be an empath or has ever even heard of that word. But an empath is defined as a person who is highly attuned to the feelings and the emotions of those who are around them. So an empath feels what another person feels at a deep emotional level. They usually take on the emotions or the feelings of others. And I want you to keep that phrase "take on" in mind. An empath takes on the emotions or the feelings of others. Now, let me ask you this before we continue this conversation. Do you really want to take on somebody else's emotions or feelings all the time? Do you really want to take on that responsibility as an empath? Because that's what an empath is, according to definition. Okay? So the word comes from what we know as empathy, right? Empathy. And I know we've all heard of that word, at least empathy, which is the capacity to understand or feel what another person is experiencing from within their frame of reference. In other words, it's the ability to place oneself in another's position to understand their feelings. So do you see the difference? An empath takes on somebody else's feelings. And then somebody who has empathy puts themselves in a position to understand somebody else's feelings. But that doesn't mean that they're taking on those feelings. They're just putting themselves in position to understand what somebody else is feeling so that they can relate. Okay? So that's the difference. Now, many of us have heard the phrase, "put yourself in somebody else's shoes," and that's what it means to be empathetic toward them. But when we're talking about being an empath, this person is literally taking the shoes from another person and putting them on their feet and then trying to walk in the emotional state of somebody else. Okay, I hope I made that plain enough. Empathy is when you're imagining what it's like to be in somebody else's shoes. You're discerning what it's like to be in someone else's shoes, and then you can relate to them so that, you know, emotionally you understand where they're coming from so that you know how to engage, you know how to respond. But an empath, E-M-P-A-T-H, an empath actually takes on that responsibility of the other person's feelings and tries to carry that load. Okay? So an empath often mirrors the emotions of others. If they are around people who are sad or emotionally distraught, they are usually going to be the same way. If somebody is happy and excited, they are usually going to be the same way. And so they basically take on other people's emotional states. Now, before we go further into this conversation, ask yourself, self, do I really want to take on the emotional state of somebody else, no matter what that emotional state is? Well, I don't know about you, but right now, asking that question, myself is saying no. No to the no, no. Okay. I don't know what you're saying, but I know that I'm saying I don't want that responsibility. And we're going to talk about why here in a few minutes. But according to scientific studies, y'all, we have mirror neurons in our brain. Okay. Mirror neurons in our brain, which may play a role in how we perceive and respond to somebody else's emotions. Okay. Scientific studies show that we have these mirror neurons in our brain, which may play a role in how we perceive and respond to somebody else's emotions. And so these studies also show that some people may have more of these mirror neurons than other people, suggesting that empaths may actually exist. Okay, this is scientific study. So, because y'all know, Crystal is not going to come on here and talk about stuff that she has not researched first. Okay. But according to scientific studies, our physical makeups, our biological makeups has the ability, okay, to mirror the emotions of others, meaning your body, there's some part of your brain that tells your body, oh, you see emotions in them. Those are the emotions that you are to reflect. And so if you are a person and you're around somebody who's sad, then you have a tendency to think that, oh, I need to be sad with them, right? Those are those mirror neurons kicking into play. Some people, it is stronger than others. So whereas some people have no empathy at all, and it doesn't matter what people feel around them, they're just like the same. And then there are those who are on the other extreme who, when people are feeling a certain way, they feel a certain way right along with them. They don't even have to have the details. If somebody's sad, they're sad. If somebody's happy, they're happy. Now listen, that's too extreme for me, okay? We haven't even gotten into the theological context of it. Just the mental thought of taking on other people's emotions like that all the time, I just don't know what I would be able to do. But with that said, this is why this conversation is necessary. A person like me who's speaking about this subject right now on this podcast, I do take on other people's emotions without even realizing it, which makes me believe scientifically, biologically, physiologically, however you want to word it, my mirror neurons are a little bit stronger than others. Because I'm not going to deny that when I'm around people, I pick up easily on their emotional state. And there have been times where I have picked up on that emotional state and taken on those feelings to where if somebody around me is depressed, I feel it strongly. If somebody around me is super excited and happy, I don't even know what the details are. I'm super happy and excited, right? So that's why this conversation is necessary, because guess what? I am a Christian believer. And when I saw the status of the young lady that said, Christians are not empaths, it made me feel a little way, because although theologically I know the detriment of labeling myself an empath, as a person who may not be as well versed in scripture or as spiritually mature, that could have really confused me. And without context, it could have really had me in a place of questioning, well, why do I feel these feelings? Why am I this way? Right. And so this is why this conversation is necessary, because scientifically, we have proof that some people can heavily take on the emotions of others, but we also need to understand how this makes sense theologically for me and others as Christian believers, especially in this world of New Age spirituality and manifestation and awakening and all of these things that are spiritual but are not necessarily holy. Amen. Let's talk about that. The things that are spiritual, but are not necessarily holy. And for me, what I've come to learn is that being an empath is something that is spiritual, but is not necessarily holy. Speaking of what's holy and what's spiritual, Y'all, the saints and the ain'ts be ready to rumble over conversations like these, especially the Facebook posts that said Christians are not empaths, because there are people out here who are really teetering into the new age religion, the new age spirituality, where things look so convoluted. But y'all, I'm going to tell you something. Even though the saints and the ain'ts be ready to rumble, every now and then, I love a good theological tussle, okay? So Chris is going to speak about it too. So first of all, I get why the Facebook status was made. And although I have my own thoughts about the approach that the thought leader often uses to address theological topics or issues like this, I actually agree with what she said here. I just don't agree with her delivery a lot of times, because regardless of how strong in the faith you are, delivery still matters. Even Jesus showed that when he addressed the legalistic people in the Bible. Jesus has been the best example of how to catch more bees with honey, if you will. We don't always have to be brass and rude with the way we offer rebuke, okay? And then we like to try to dress it up as being a warrior for Jesus or being a soldier on the battlefield for God. Listen, first of all, God don't need no soldiers, okay? He can handle it all on his own, but he does love those who are going to serve in his name, but that also must include grace. Grace gets more souls won than brazenness ever will. I'm going to say that one more time. Grace gets more souls won than brazenness ever will. You can hold people accountable, and you can say what needs to be said, thus saith the Lord, but you can also do it with grace, okay? Just because you are on fire for God does not mean that you forget about the grace, okay? And so for me, the original poster definitely doesn't leave the door open a lot of times for discipleship with her brazen statements. Yes, she is a teacher. And yes, a lot of the things that she says are teachable moments for those who are growing spiritually. But when you deliver it in a way that excludes some people who are not all the way discipled, then you don't leave room for growth. You don't leave room for people to be able to learn, because oftentimes it's going to be met with offense, okay? When you say things that are so harsh, no matter if it's true or not, it's not going to be easily received, and you risk losing out on the people who you were supposed to reach with grace. Okay. And so what I notice is that she often does this, and it grieves my soul, because we must leave room in our rebuke for learning and growth to be received, because people won't want to learn from us if we're harsh with our correction regarding cultural topics, right? Yet instead of dismissing her statement, though, I chose to partake in the meat of the conversation and simply spit out the bones, which is why I'm here talking to you right now, because the statement is very true. Christians are not empaths. If we're going to go by the cultural definition of what an empath is, which is what I described earlier, if you want to rewind this podcast episode a little bit, the actual term that many are using is heavily tied to divination, to necromancy, to witchcraft, okay? It is not holy. And if you're using it to describe yourself, but you weren't fully aware of the cultural differences between being an empath and having empathy as a Christian believer, let me tell you what she didn't say. Give yourself grace and don't feel condemned by what she said if you saw it, okay? You still must be accountable to what's right and wrong when it comes to things of God, but you also have room for growth, okay? So if you've been calling yourself an empath, because guess what? I've been guilty of it before. If you've been calling yourself an empath, if you did not have full awareness of what that meant for you as a Christian believer, give yourself grace, but then also give yourself room to grow, okay? Give yourself room to grow. Anything that gives room for spiritual impact that is not of God must be addressed, okay? And so that's why I'm talking about this topic today, because if you don't get right with what you think about yourself as a Christian believer. It will allow things to run rampant in your spiritual life, okay? Just like it's running rampant in these social media streets, okay? Because I've noticed a lot of people are picking up these new age practices and these new age terminologies like empath and manifestation. And, you know, they're using new age things like sage and, you know, people are normalizing it, even Christian believers. So that's why context matters, okay? Context matters in Christian conversations like these. And just copying and pasting definitions from Google and trying to do word studies from Google is not going to cut it. This is a discipleship moment. And I think that's why I was so bothered by the way that it was put out there. Because you can't just put out a status like that to... It's kind of like you put it out there as a soundbite. You know, you want people to hear that and get them stirred up. But this is the thing, though. You have a responsibility as a Christian believer to disciple other believers, okay? Or to teach and reach those who do not believe so that they do understand and they possibly become believers, okay? So context matters in Christian conversations like these. But let's clarify why I do agree with her statement. With all that said, I agree with her statement because being an empath is a clever trick of the enemy to have us out here practicing spiritual powers that position ourselves as divine authority over others. And that is not our job. That is not what God gave us the ability to do. Okay. We are here to serve others through love, but we do not have divine authority over other people. Okay. That is one of the reasons why Satan himself is always antagonistic to God, why he's always against God, because he wants to have that divine authority over others that he does not have and God has not given him. Okay. So you may have even heard me say before, because I'm going to go ahead and put myself on the platter. You may have even heard me say before that I consider myself an empath, okay, as I'm talking about emotionally relating to other people. But I was using the terminology of the word wrong, okay? So I had to repent myself for misusing that word and labeling myself that way. And I've had to since rephrase my language, okay? Even though I still heavily empathize with others, I am not an empath, okay? Here's why. What's happening in the culture today is heavily influenced by the words that we use and the images that we use, especially on social media. And so words like empath sneakily challenge scripture, okay? And it creeps into our vocabulary and into our mindset. And that opens up spiritual portals of influence to where the next thing you know, you are going further and further away from the word of God. Okay. And so we have to remember that how we say things and how we label ourselves and how we attach ourselves to cultural trends, it matters as Christian believers. Because remember, an empath is somebody who takes on the emotions of other people. Okay. Remember, I told you to remember that phrase, take on. Okay. Whereas empathy is the ability to understand. And so one is taking on and the other is understanding the feelings of another. Okay. Now, this is the thing with an empath. You're taking on the weight of something that you may not even be able to handle. Okay. An empath is taking on the burdens of others, even when they may not be able to handle that load. But they do it anyway. They have labeled themselves a person who is going to freely do that anyway, even if that is not something that God has given them to handle. Okay. And then what makes matters worse is that they take on the burden of somebody else's emotions and they feel like they are empowered by that ability, even if it actually strips them of their emotional stability. I'm going to say that one more time. They take on the burdens of others' emotional states and they feel like they are empowered by that ability, even if it strips them of their emotional stability. They take on that ability, but it strips them of their emotional stability. Okay. They find validation in being able to wear the supportive cape, if you will. Whereas somebody with empathy has the ability to discern somebody else's emotional state, yet they also have the gift of wisdom to know how to hand those emotional burdens over to God on behalf of somebody else through intercessory prayer. Okay, someone who heavily empathizes with others, such as myself as a Christian believer, is often burdened by the gift. Okay, but we also understand and acknowledge every place in scripture that says we cast those burdens onto God because God is the one who sustains us. Okay, we cannot sustain ourselves, let alone sustain somebody else's burdens like that. Okay, we are to take on those burdens in prayer and hand them or submit them over to God. We recognize that we don't have the power to keep the cape. We don't have the power to keep the cape. Okay, empaths, they want to keep that cape. They want to wear that cape. They want to be superheroes of emotions. Okay, but we do not have that power. And that's why we're out here mentally struggling. We're out here depressed, or we're out here manic depressive and bipolar, and we're struggling with our emotional states because we are walking in labels and we are giving titles to ourselves that we are not meant to have. Okay, but we must release the need to be an emotional superhero for other people. We got to release the need to be emotional superheroes for other people because we understand that we don't have the divine ability to take on somebody else's emotions and still be okay. Okay? Those who practice spiritual divination or manifestation practices or witchcraft, I'm going to tell you something that I found in common with all of these different areas of necromancy, okay? They have an issue with submission. There's an issue with submission. Even as an empath, empaths have an issue with submission. They enjoy having the power to hold on to something that God is demanding they release. Okay, they enjoy having the power to practice their gifts at their leisure without accountability to God. If you think about fortune tellers or psychics or empaths, tarot card readers, forgive me, I couldn't even think of the word, tarot card readers. When you think of all of these people who practice those things, they all find joy in being able to control their gift, okay? Because the reality is we're all gifted, okay? We all carry gifts. Remember, all gifts come from God. But guess what? Some of those gifts are without repentance. There are some people who are walking around with gifts that have been perverted in the spirit, and they are not being operated in the Holy Spirit. They are being operated by spirits, but not the Holy Spirit, okay? And that's what makes the difference. God created each and every one of us, which means that every gift that is within us, right, was created with us when we were created, when God first formed us in the womb. But only the good and perfect gifts come from God, okay? Which means gifts that are submitted to God, okay? And that we are graced to be able to serve with. It is the grace of God which allows us to serve others with our spiritual gifts without abusing them. But when we take away the grace, which comes through submission, is when we find ourselves operating in a divine authority that was not given to us. Which is why I said there are some things out here that are spiritual, but they are not holy. Okay, holiness comes through submission of who we are, what we carry, right, to God. But when we refuse to do that, we're operating in gifts, but they are not holy. Okay, so yes, there are some people around here who may call themselves empaths because they are operating in gifts that, if they were not perverted, would be good and perfect gifts from God. Okay, and we will be able to use those to serve others. That's why a lot of counselors, they have the gift of empathy and compassion. They are able to discern other people's emotional states and be able to know how to navigate and respond to those in life. That's why I love being a counselor. I love being able to support others emotionally. But I also know that that can be easily abused. And so I have had to repent for how I label myself. And I've had to make sure that everything that I do, everything that I say is aligned with the word of God. Okay, because I know that God has gifted me with the ability to heavily discern somebody else's emotional state and then, quote unquote, feel where they're coming from. Right. In the past, I've been able to read people, you know, that's what we say. We read people or discern what type of person they are or what type of trauma they carry. Right. I can often easily assess whether someone feels a certain way, especially if they feel a certain way about me and they're in my presence. OK. And even a smile won't cover it up. There has been so many times where people around me, whether it's family, friends, foes, whoever, and if they feel a way, I can usually pick it up on it. That in the past, I would say something in the guise of keeping it real, but that was often met with anger and defensiveness. Right. So I've learned how to restructure how I respond to how I mirror other people's emotions, right? Instead of responding a certain way, I now learn how to really assess the situation with wisdom and then respond as necessary if I even need to respond, because sometimes Holy Spirit will be like, shut up, let it play out, right? Okay, so even if you're around me and you really feel a way about me, I'm usually going to be able to pick it up, even if I never say anything, which is why I'm very careful with who's around me. I'm very careful with the circle that I maintain. I'm very careful with how I steward myself with others, because I know that could easily go the wrong direction, right? If you've listened to any of my podcast episodes before, you know that I am naturally a fighter. Like, I am naturally assertive. I am naturally loud, and it takes work for me to be soft and quiet and not be so assertive, right, all the time, and not feel like I have to address things. And so to be a person who heavily picks up the emotions of others, because again, these mirror neurons are at work in me a lot of the times. And so, which is probably why I also struggle with social anxiety, because there's so much going on at one time. It's overwhelming. And I just be like, okay, wait, I need silence. I need to be by myself, right? So this gift can easily be perverted when it's mishandled and it's not properly submitted to the power of the Holy Spirit. There are spirits in operation out here. So what we're submitting our gifts to matters. What we are submitting our gifts to matters. And I know that it matters for me because of the way that God has called me to influence other people and the way God has called me to be in certain rooms and be on certain platforms and speak to certain people. It matters how I steward my gifts, okay? And I don't want to be one who is found abusing the gifts that God has given me. Okay. I want to be fully cognizant of how I serve other people by the way God has called me to serve. And that means being very careful with how I label myself with these new age terms or how I use cultural trends to impact my witness, my influence, right? And so I'm just saying, yeah, you may not have received what the young lady said well because of the way she put it out there or because of a lack of understanding when it comes to the theological nature of words like this, but we still must hold ourselves accountable to what is pleasing to God, okay? Because now guess what? I may not be an empath, but my gift of compassion and empathy and mercy, it teaches me how to extend more grace and be more patient and utilize or operate in the fruit of the Spirit, right? It enables me to lean more on God, who can handle what comes with a gift like this. And so instead of walking around emotionally burdened all the time, I pray often, y'all. I pray often when I feel like somebody is depressed, even if they never say it, I pray for them. If I feel like somebody, it seems like they're all over the place with their emotions, instead of me being all over the place with them because I know they can take me there, I pray for peace. I pray for stability. I pray for a sound mind, okay? I am more compassionate to people because I understand how the mind can work against you and I understand how it can lead you in the wrong direction and then that affects your decision making and it affects how you live as a Christian believer. So I am more compassionate, but I do not operate in anything that is outside of the will of God. And when you call yourself an empath and you take on the emotions of others, or you take on emotional assignments that do not belong to you, you are operating outside of the will of God, because you are trying to maintain assignments that God has not even given you. Okay. And then the next thing you know, you're weighed down by something that you're trying to carry that you weren't even called to carry. I'm going to tell you something, regardless of what's going on around me and in my life, I smile a lot. If you know me, or if you know people who know me, they'll tell you Crystal's always smiling. Why? Because the weight of my gift doesn't burden me. The weight of my gift does not burden me. I know that I don't have the capacity to carry burdens like that. I don't have the capacity to take on other people's emotional burdens, whether good or bad, okay? The world gives them to me all the time when I'm in social settings, but guess what? I serve the God of this world who can also take them away, who can handle them better than I can. And so I encourage each of you today who's listening to this episode and you feel like you often bear the emotional weight of other people, hand that stuff over to God, okay? Let your requests be made known to God, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your mind in Christ Jesus. Hand that stuff over to God. Pray about those things that you're burdened by, but don't try to carry them. Okay. When you understand what somebody else is going through emotionally, take the opportunity to go to God on their behalf, but don't take on what you're trying to receive from them. Okay. Don't take on that burden. That may not be your burden to carry. Okay. God encourages us to come to Him, all who labor and are heavy laden, and He promises us rest. So guess what? God is there for the person who's emotionally weighed down. You don't have to be emotionally weighed down with them in order to empathize with them. Okay, because God is going to be there for them the same way that He will be there for you. Okay, He says all who labor and are heavy laden, He promises them rest. And so that includes the one that you're trying to take on their emotional burden. Some of you can't even rest well because you're carrying other people's hell. Okay. Some of you can't even rest well because you're carrying other people's hell. And let's be real. Some of you enjoy that. Some of you enjoy being emotionally invested in others, good or bad. You like having that sense of control over somebody else's emotional state. You like being able to empathize, but then you also like the ability to manipulate your offer of empathy to get others to do what you want them to do. That's why you often see narcissists and empaths in relationships, if we want to go by labels, okay? That's why you often see those who are narcissistic and those who heavily empathize with others in relationships, okay? Because the narcissist likes to control, but the person who heavily empathizes with others takes advantage of the person's emotional state of all over the place, and they use that to their advantage, okay? So an empath often strives to make sure that other people, you know, have the things that they need to feel safe, secure, and happy. And narcissists usually need all of the things from everybody to feel safe, secure, and happy. Okay. And so with an empath, this gives them the validation that they need to feel better about themselves. Y'all see how demonic that is? Why? You don't want to be an empath. Okay. Because this is the issue with empath. You lack boundaries. You lack boundaries. Now that's what we really need to talk about. So we finna address that. Yep. As an empath, you lack emotional, physical, and spiritual boundaries with other people, and especially with God. That is why we must be careful as Christian believers with how we label ourselves and with what names we label ourselves with. You find it hard to discern how to stay in your place as an empath, because you want to be in control emotionally, but you don't recognize that the more you try to maintain control, you're actually losing it, okay? And so we think that narcissists are bad, but we must be careful about those who call themselves empaths and aren't submitting their gifts to God, because both are dangerous in relationships. You do not want to find yourself in a relationship with an empath, with somebody who has the ability to take on your emotions, especially if you're still trying to learn how to navigate and gauge your own emotions. For example, if you are someone who is naturally on 10, like if you're always full of excitement, and that could be good or bad, you know, excitement, happy, but then also when things go bad, you're excited aggressively, like you're, you know, you go straight to 10, mean in a relationship. Do you want somebody else in a relationship with you who goes straight to 10 with you because they immediately take on your emotions? And so when you're up, they're up. And when you're down, they're down. Oh my gosh, that is either going to be a toxic relationship because you're always up, or a toxic relationship because you're always down. Okay. I can think of a couple celebrity relationships like that right now where I can tell they are just bad. They pick up off of each other and they are so not good for each other. Okay. So emotionally, empaths lack boundaries, because if you're taking on the emotions of everybody, then at what point do you maintain control of what you feel and what you don't feel? Okay. That is why we must be careful with what we think we're doing and what we think we are labeling ourselves as. Okay. And so with that, I'm going to conclude this conversation with this, and I want us to continue the conversation over on social media, okay, after you listen to this episode. Empathy that is not submitted to the Holy Spirit can indeed be perverted and can create a codependency and can create chaotic relationships, okay? It can create chaotic relationships horizontally and a chaotic relationship vertically with God. Scripture calls us to have compassion for one another, to be tenderhearted and courteous with one another. We do have a duty as the body of Christ to participate to an extent in the suffering of our other people in community with us. But we have our limits, okay? We are not Christ. Christ is the one, the only one, who has successfully shown us what it truly means to fully participate in the sufferings of others. He did that on the cross, okay? The one who literally sacrificed for us to save our souls is who we look to for help with carrying our burdens. He is the true burden bearer. He is the true example of what it means to take on the issues of someone else. But only he has the power to do that. What Christ did for us on the cross is nothing compared to what we think we're doing in trying to emotionally support other people. Okay. And so we are to reflect the image of Christ and how we extend empathy to others. But we are not to take on the position of Christ when it comes to being an empath. I'm going to say that one more time. We are to reflect the image of Christ and how we extend empathy to others, but we are not to take on the position of Christ when it comes to being an empath. We do not have the capacity, even if we try, okay? We would wear ourselves out. So how comforting it must be to know that God records all of our tears and all of our emotional struggles. God personally feels our pain, and God promises a day to come where there will be no more sorrow and there will be no more sadness, okay? So if you heavily empathize with others, it should be comforting to know that God is the one who can handle all of those emotional battles, okay? You do not have to take those battles on from anybody else. When you see someone emotionally struggling, when you see someone emotionally all over the place, don't go there with them.
take the opportunity to intercede for them by taking their emotional issues to God. Don't take on their emotional issues, but take them to God. Simply accept the invitation to cast those cares that you're carrying onto God, because God cares for you better than anybody else ever can care for you, even an empath. Amen. Amen.
Thanks for joining me on this episode of She Speaks Podcast. Please visit whenchrisspeaks.com and subscribe so you can get the heads up on future episodes and any updates on what's to come. You can also connect with me on social media at whenchrisspeaks or She Speaks Apparel if you're looking for some dope Christian lifestyle and empowerment apparel, okay? But seriously, if you love the show, show me some love. Leave me a rating on your podcast platform of choice so that I can continue bringing more people more quality content. Thanks for listening, and I'll speak to you again soon. Thank you.